People in Ohio are mad, deeply disappointed, said House Speaker and Ohio Representative John Boehner, that their former governor and 25th President William McKinley no longer has naming rights to the tallest mountain in America. Now, Republicans in Alaska support changing the name of the mountain to its native name, Denali. Here's Senator Lisa Murkowski.
For generations, Alaskans have known this majestic mountain as the Great One. Today, we're honored to be able to officially recognize the mountain as Denali. I'd like to thank the president for working with us to achieve this significant change to show honor, respect, and gratitude to the Athabascan people of Alaska.
And you can hear it in Senator Lisa Murkowski's statement there. The renaming or the return of Denali's name means a lot to Alaska Natives. But of course, McKinley wasn't alone. Mount St. Helens wasn't always called that. Neither was Mount Rushmore, for that matter. There's a lot of precedent here for renaming our monuments, both natural and contrived. And that's why Kenneth C. Davis is here. He's author of the Don't Know Much series, including Don't Know Much About the American Presidents and Don't Know Much About Geography. His new book is The Hidden History of America at War. Kenneth C. Davis, welcome back.
Good day. It's always a pleasure to be with you. And of course, we live in a place that was misnamed America by the first guy who drew the map. So there's a long history of naming places. And the first guy who puts it down on a map usually has a lot of say in these maps.
The naming rights, as we're fond of calling them now. Now, how did Denali lose its name to McKinley in the first place? Everybody kind of snickers about it now, thinking he was an inconsequential president, except for the fact that he was assassinated.
Not an inconsequential president at all, I would argue, first of all. If he hadn't been assassinated, he could very well have gone down as one of the great presidents, but of course assassinated at the beginning of his second term after having successfully won the war against Spain, which was a tremendous accomplishment, not without controversy. And then he was succeeded, of course, by Theodore Roosevelt, and because Roosevelt was such a larger-than-life character, really overshadowed McKinley for a long time, but we've kind of come to reassess McKinley. By the way, speaking of McKinley and geography, one of the things that happened during the war with Spain is that we went to war with Spain over the Philippines. It wasn't one of the places we set out. It was basically about Cuba. McKinley said early in the war that he couldn't find the Philippines on a map if he had to, like a lot of Americans at the turn of the 20th century.
And so it was Teddy Roosevelt, after McKinley, that named this mountain?
No, the mountain naming doesn't happen till later. It was kind of named informally in 1896, before McKinley even becomes president. There was a gold rush going on in Alaska, then a territory, not a state. And a prospector wrote back to a newspaper about this mountain and decided to name it McKinley in honor of McKinley, who had just gotten the nomination and was a big champion of the gold standard, which was a big issue in that time, political issue, the gold standard. The name before that had been various. Denali, of course, is ancient, an Athabascan name, meaning the tall one. The Russians had called it Bolshaya Gora. I'm probably mispronouncing that. Forgive me, Russians. An Englishman had named it Densmore's Mountain. So it had gone through, but this name in 1896 kind of stuck. And in 1917, more than 15 years after McKinley was assassinated, Congress decided to name the park and the mountain at the center of the park in McKinley's honor.
And then ever since then, almost, Alaska Natives and a lot of other people in Alaska have gone about the task of restoring that name as a sign of respect and really recognition, a small gesture, I suppose, but an important one.
It is an important one. I should also mention that it's the Secretary of the Interior who gets to do this, and I'm sure with the president's approval.
Oh, the Secretary. Okay, so that's all done at Interior, we should remember. But Lisa Murkowski thanked the president, didn't she? One senator who was thankful to the White House. That's Kenneth C. Davis, author of the Don't Know Much series. His new book, The Hidden History of America at War, with a chapter, I'm told, on William McKinley himself. Kenneth C. Davis, thank you so much.
Thanks.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo. Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.